Forgot what I said last time.
The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
All right, everybody.
Woo, guess who's back?
Yeah.
Back again.
Nate is back.
Tell a friend.
I don't know.
Happy midweek, everybody.
Oh, midweek.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to take a little bit of a look at who might be the next governor of California.
He's no.
Oh. Who he might be. The people haven't spoken yet.
Nothing.
That's why we vote. Also, some news from Canada that might get you upset. It might not. I don't know.
What are they up to this time?
It's up to you.
Did they run out of donuts?
No.
Poutine?
It is not food related.
Oh, wow.
At all.
Oh, beer related?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not a
consumable thing.
Oh.
Well, I guess it
is. Hockey? But... Maple Leafs? I'm out of Canada references.
How about we wait and find out later?
It's probably beavers.
That's exactly what it is.
They run out of beavers.
We have run out of the beaver. It's... It is something that we have run out of beaver.
is that a Quebecian accent?
It is. It's a French-Canadian accent.
God.
We
have run out of the beaver. let's start, though, with the Donut Dash.
Yay.
Which three of us did on Saturday.
75% participation.
It's pretty good. It's a strong C.
It's okay.
Was it fun?
No, I woke up Saturday morning with the worst headache ever.
No,
and our friend, former sushi Brian of, came out with his friends. His wife came out. I got to meet his wife, who's a lovely woman, and his daughter, who did the whole thing on a Razor scooter.
Yeah, hi Brian and Brian's family. It was so fun to meet you.
Yeah, and so he did the race. Becca and Ted did their swirling. I made the mistake of thinking, because I was sick on Friday, and I thought, you know what, I have a headache, but if I run a little bit and I start to feel a little worn down, I'll walk a little bit, and I'll just go, you know, I'll walk, run. The problem was, because I was sick the day before and I wasn't really over it, by the time I ran the second time, I didn't have any more run left in me.
No.
And about 2.5 miles in, I just felt so miserable. My head was literally pounding with every step.
Oh, that's miserable.
That's
and,
not good.
And when you're on that, it's a 2 mile out and back course. So
once you're out, you got to go back.
You got to go back. It's not, you know, it's not like the 15-year-old race volunteers are going to wheel me back to my car.
But can we work on that for next year?
Maybe. That's not a bad idea.
Day old donut, turn them into wheels, sticks, and some duct tape.
They're way too fresh to be used as wheels.
I know. Yes, that's why I said you got to ask for day olds.
the event went off very well, as always. It's a great event, and
I think they raised more than $60,000.
They did. The total is more than $60,000 this year, and for a race that a scant 6 years ago started with 25 people, I believe. What did they say? 2,000 people. Was it that? I forget the number of people who ran.
It was quite a lot.
It was packed. It was a lot of... It's not a race that you go and look for, you know, what a... Ted's looking around for something.
I hear sounds.
Something's happening.
There's like a neighbor
outside.
Encroaching.
No. Well, the windows are open in the other room, so that could be it. But
someone's stealing my car.
I wouldn't worry about that. So...
Oh.
It's insured. When I got started, this is the only thing I would say. It's not an event that you're really like super concerned about your time. They separated out the competitive runners, who are the people who are going to eat the four donuts at Marie's Donuts and run back. That's part of their time. It's competitive and non-competitive. The problem is, if you want to run, you need to make sure you're not behind the walkers, strollers. I know you guys went to the back, which is awesome, but not everybody did. So for like the first 200-300 yards, I couldn't have run if I wanted to.
Yeah, because
I
was just crowded.
I was just penned in by very slow walkers and people with strollers the size of Christiana's truck.
You know, if you brought a cattle prod or a taser, you can get people out of your way really fast, Nate. Just a suggestion.
I wonder if they could do
maybe next year.
Okay.
Like three start times. So competitive, non-competitive, but running, and then the people that just know they're going
to
dawdle.
No, well, they don't even need to do that. Well, all they need to do is, and they do this at some races where they start you off by your mile time.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who have the faster mile times are in the front.
I feel like they did that last time. I remember them. They did some kind of staggered start
last year. Yeah, the competitive runners
just competitive
first.
And non.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if they did that where it's like, hey, if you're going to be walking, if you've got strollers, let's have you back behind this line. If you're going to be running, let's have you up here. I mean, super little things. And again, it's not the type of event where you're like, oh, my God, I need to know my 4 mile time. With the donuts. But the Donut Dash, fantastic thing. Well done, Zach. $60,000.
That's awesome.
Is amazing. So
got some donations.
Yeah, they were collecting DVDs and video games for the kids at Sutter. And Ted donated his Futurama
series. That's right.
Wow. I've
been pruning my collection of DVDs, and they have that on Netflix now.
Hey, kids, here's something I don't want.
Enjoy. Well,
no, but that's
better
what they
for
wanted.
Them.
Yeah, they
like him. Futurama's a good show.
Yeah.
Not everyone has Netflix. Show.
And Wallace and Gromit, you donated,
yeah,
too.
Did.
Well, and you don't have Netflix when you're in the hospital either.
Yeah, come on, kids, get with it.
So
get Netflix. No, I'm kidding.
So yeah, Donut Dash, a rousing success all around, except for my head.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
It'll grow back.
It will.
Wait, what?
As a result of that, I finally made. I got a Sunday.
Ooh.
I went and got a massage. And
a Nate touch.
a good touch. The good touch massage parlor.
Bad touch is the worst massage parlor.
Every time we see Nate touch massage, I always just...
I don't even know what that is. But
it's near my church offices, and it's a massage place, and it's spelled N, letter 8, and touch. And I think they mean innate touch.
I believe they do, yeah.
But it doesn't there's no I or anything, so it just looks like Nate touch.
But they saved on signage, so it was worth it, I'm sure.
We always want you to go there. I feel like you should get a free massage if your name is Nate.
Though, if you spelled it with the 8, yes, you would. But the massage therapist I got was like, she was really great. She gets about 10 minutes in. She goes, next time you come back, I need you to give me 90 minutes because you have a lot going on here.
Oh no.
That is literally what she said. Eh?
That is exactly what she said.
Was she hitting on you?
No.
Okay. You've got a lot going on here.
No, because my neck, my back, my shoulders, my hips from running, everything. I'm a mess.
Oh.
Which then led me to realize that I needed a new mattress.
Yay.
So off to IKEA I went, and new mattress on my bed. You guys can try it later.
Wink.
If you want to try it between shows, you feel free to go and lay down.
I would like to do the next show from the bed, all of us there.
How fun would
on
that
location.
Be?
It's a full-size bed. It would be a little touch and go. It wouldn't work quite well.
A little lot of touch, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would not be the best.
Nowhere to go.
The spoon episode.
The problem with buying, so Sunday night, I bought a mattress and I got it in for Sunday night. The problem with that is all day Monday, all I wanted to do was crawl back into bed. Like I was at work all day and I was just like, I really would rather be lying in my new bed right now. Really want to be lying in my new bed right now. So I'm stoked. I'm hopefully going to reduce the number of chiropractor visits I need now. And shout out to my chiropractor, Don Freeman at United Chiropractic. He's the best.
He sounds like he might be a member of the tribe.
He could very well be.
Just put it out there.
He's a Jewish doctor.
I know. It's unfathomable.
He is a member of the tribe of podcasters.
Oh, is he?
He does. He does Trail Runner Nation. So if you want to learn how to run trails and do that sort of thing, check them out.
I was wondering if it was going to be a podcast about like chiropractor stuff. Because I want to be like, and then I'll tell you about the next loudest crack I ever heard.
it was
like crack.
He runs ultra marathons. Dude's crazy. Like
that is crazy.
Because he did the Angel's Crest 100 last year.
I don't like
What's that, 100 miles?
It's 100 kilometers.
Okay, 100 miles seemed that much.
There's 100. There are 100 miles.
100 miles.
What is wrong with you people?
So that would take you and I, what, like 4 days,
I think?
Our Donut Dash time, Ted and I, it was 90 minutes. We did stop and sit down at the
duck pond.
The lake and look at the ducks and geese. We drank a bottle of water. We did some other stuff. But then we came back and we're like, 90 minutes. We rock.
I don't know why they have the clock going at that point.
There were still plenty of people that finished after you.
That's true. We weren't last.
Yeah, it's a chill event. But
next time we'll bring bread for the ducks.
But yeah, like last year.
They don't get donuts. Fuck those ducks.
Last year, I tried to make an appointment with him on a Monday, and they're like, oh, he's not in on Monday, and we have an appointment Tuesday. So when I went on Tuesday, he's like, yeah, I ran Angel's Crest this weekend. It was like 26 or 28 hours of straight running.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
It's unbelievable what people can push themselves to do.
Like what Marines do.
That's not even Marines don't do that.
Well, it's like what they do, I said.
Oh, okay.
That's what is it
a safe simile to say they...
Ex-wife of a friend of ours does ultras.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Speaking of podcasts, because I mentioned Don's podcast. We're on a podcast right now.
Ooh.
Podcast.
On Meta.
This is something that's happening right now, and you might be able to speak to this a little bit, Christiana. There are something called patent trolls out there.
I know about patent trolls, too. I've written about those guys before.
Yeah, probably 10 knows more.
They're the worst.
It's possible.
But you know you got to take a special bar to do patent law, right? Like, it's a whole extra... It's like bonus lawyering.
Yeah,
you got to do a separate thing and have, like, a separate background, and it's... I don't know what goes on there. It's a weird thing.
Know.
Those kids, I don't know.
And there's the thing is there's this town in Texas.
Ugh.
And basically their entire economy
isn't there always?
Is based upon patent troll lawsuits.
Nice.
They have it set up that their economy is mostly the lawyers for these companies who set up like basically a shell office in this town. And they have people who've bought up these patents. They didn't actually come up with anything. They just bought the patents. And so this particular one, they apparently bought a patent that someone had written to make playlists online. And this group of people has already sued Apple, and Apple ended up losing and paying them whatever.
Good, I hate Apple.
But...
What about justice?
You can get our show on iTunes.
Whatever.
But now they're going after podcasters, and they're starting with the most popular podcast in the world, the Adam Carolla Show. And to date, he has spent over $50,000, and the whole fight so far has just been that's just true. Trying to
I'm
get the venue.
Like a smoker today.
That's just
to pick that up.
Funny.
I'm not a smoker. Sorry, I just realized that I'm laughing like an 80-year-old.
That's just trying to get the venue moved out of Texas where nobody actually does business. So part of the idea was, because this is going to affect everybody who does a podcast, is there is now a fund anything to help fight the legal costs of fighting these patent trolls. And let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm small business owner Adam Carolla. I'm standing in my studio. I built this studio. Actually... We all kind of built this studio because you guys supported me and my podcast, and we started a nice small business with a handful of friendly employees who aim to please. Unfortunately, they're guys called patent trolls. What do? Honestly, I still don't know. They buy up patents and then they use them to get money out of businesses. And in this case, a podcast, a small podcast. Well, normally, people settle up with these guys because it's so expensive to fight these guys in court. Well, guess what? We're going to circle the wagons, band together, and come out throwing punches. Here's my plan.
Mixed metaphor.
We all band together, all the podcasts, because remember, if I go down, well, then your favorite podcast is going down next, and we're going to all fall like dominoes. But if we all unify and stand and fight together, we can beat the trolls. But we can't do it alone. We need your support. Go to fundanything.com/patent troll and let's smash the trolls.
Slay the trolls.
How much are they trying to raise?
I don't know. To date, as of this recording, they have raised $100,732.
Which is like a teeny tiny bit of the entire bar. Are they going for a million?
It looks like that's what they're going
for. And where's
for.
The patent troll... Who owns the patent to like Kickstarter or whatever, suing fund anything? I can't keep track of these funding sites now.
So the donate. I'm pretty sure they'll take any amount of money, but they divvy it up and like you get rewards for giving money. They're everything from $5 on up. There are different things, but
when did this go live?
It went live just a few days ago.
Okay.
So not that long ago. It's you know, there's still time to donate. But that's the thing. They're going after Adam Carolla, but if he loses, then they're going to go after the next one and the next one and the next one.
This American Life and Savage Love and The Moth, the things that keep me going.
And the show you're listening to right now.
Oh, because, yeah, that one.
Because we're not going to, we don't have the wherewithal to fight patent trolls. Because if we get sued, we're done. That's basically what's going to happen.
They wouldn't buy a lot of Amazon. They would just send a cease and desist.
Right. So, and then we would cease and we would desist.
Nah.
Or we would do something.
I'll do a pro bono. Not that I know what I'm doing.
So that's basically it. If you're interested in keeping podcasts alive, us and everybody else's that you listen to, it's fundanything.com/patent troll. And go ahead and contribute to that if you'd like.
I feel like they've set this up. You guys can't see this screen on your side, but whatever their goal is, they've made it look like it's not very popular, even though raising $100,000 in a couple of days is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
The way they have it done there, it looks like they've raised like, you know, $5 out of 2,000 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it just sort of looks like, oh, there must not be that much momentum after this. If it's taken a couple of days and Adam Carolla can't get a bunch. Because I wonder how many people's other thought is like, I know, okay, yeah, small business owner, and yeah, but I would kind of assume that Adam Carolla has resources and whatnot.
Well, he does, but I mean, he's basically, his podcast was created out of nothing, and
sure.
He started doing it.
No, I'm not saying he shouldn't be defending
right,
himself.
And like I said, he started doing it from his house, and it got popular, and he was able to sell advertising, and from there, he, you know, built studios in his warehouse, mm-hmm. and he hired Bald Brian, who you might recognize from this.
Nate, you're 100% right.
a news girl and a whole staff of behind the scenes people. So he is a small business owner who's employing, you know, about 10 or 12 people who are doing podcasts and entertaining. They've built their own little entertainment network. And, you know, we have here too. I mean, we've got 3 shows a week that come out of my living room. And, you know, we get the little bit that we get from Amazon. Thank you very much for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com.
You're welcome.
But the bottom line is, when things like this happen, you know, if you want to kick in, kick in. If you don't. I'm not, you know, it's not one of those things where I'm going to be like, you have to kick in. But we will be reminding you of it as the show goes forward. I know they're having a big fundraiser live event in L.A. at the end of the month, I think the 27th or 28th of March. In Redondo Beach, I believe. And, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's coming. There's going to be a lot of people out at
everybody,
this whole thing.
So if you're from L.A., everybody who was on K-Rock when we were all in junior high and high school will be there.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel, Dr. Drew, Kevin and Bean are going to be there.
Oh, both of them? Because one of them lives in, like, Washington.
Yeah,
now.
He's
I don't remember which
I,
one.
I believe he's. I believe Bean.
One of them.
I believe Bean lives in Seattle.
Can they get Poor Man?
I don't think so. I don't know. But they're Andy Summers from The Police is going to play.
Don't care. I only care about Jimmy Kimmel. So, Jimmy the sports guy now has a popular late night show. It makes me happy.
He does.
I'm really excited about this, I have to say. Like, I'm really excited that they're going to take this on because, I mean, the podcast patent troll issue has been one of the more publicized ones. But this idea of patent trolls is something that sprung up in the last, I don't know, like the in my awareness anyway, maybe in the last 5 years or so. And everybody agrees that it's essentially a despicable practice, you know, that it's just money grubbing and it steals from people who are being creative and putting things out. And they use the flimsiest, oldest patents to just like rip away people's inventions and shut down their businesses for nothing. I mean, I feel like it's soulless capitalism kind of at its, it's like a perfect example of that. And you're right that nobody really stands up to them because they can't afford to. And so I just like the idea of everybody chipping in, banding together, and really taking this to the courts, because I feel like somebody needs to check this patent troll habit. And I don't know. I'm just really excited. I'm excited that the podcast folks are doing it. And I think that this is going to really grow because a lot of high profile people are going to get behind it because everyone has a podcast. And I don't know. It's just, it's ready. It's time for some legislation or some court rulings that knock these trolls down a peg.
Yeah. And the fact that they basically have just set up in this weird little outlaw town in Texas, who they've got hotels and restaurants, and it's all, basically all funded by lawyers and defendants who are coming into town, and lawyers who are representing these patent trolls coming into town. And
like Lawyer Disneyland.
It is. It's weird.
Also, that's basically the entire state of Delaware is that, you know, that's just where corporations are headquartered, but nobody actually lives there.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Except for
so
Joe
weird.
Biden.
I feel like I cannot remember if I read a large article about patent trolls in Vanity Fair or if it was a This American Life episode.
Maybe you read my writing
both,
about it.
Because I read this stuff.
I did write about it.
Yeah, but did you write about the place you're talking about in Texas? Like, they went to that building and it's just these, it's just a doors in a hallway with little mail slots where mail goes through, and just, it's just empty, you know? There's just nothing happening.
Now, Ted, since you did write about patent trolls, what can you tell us that we haven't covered?
Oh, it's, I mean, I think we've really actually have pretty much covered the whole idea that, you know, someone patents a button that you push on a website that will enable someone to make a purchase. And then, you know, technology evolves and those things became, you know, a standard part of an operation of a website. And yet people will cling to these really small technologies, you know, that make something work and try to make money off of it. Part of the problem is politicians and lawyers and judges don't always understand technology, I think, is contributing to that.
Can you imagine a world without lawyers?
Okay. And it's definitely something that comes up in the tech industry also, like Rackspace, I know, has been working hard to fight against patent trolls and the EFF. And so there's some legislation out there, but I have no idea where it's going or what's happened to it. But, you know, it's a fight, and hopefully it will be a one sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and honestly, I think you're right. I think tech is the hardest hit industry in terms of that, because it, you know, it's so much of it is based on ideas,
right,
that it's sort of held up that way. But
yeah,
and you brought up a good point, which is that a lot of times when this gets to the courts or to the legislators, that they don't have the same concept of websites that tech people do, and a lot of times they're kind of like their rulings can be really odd. Like some of the more regional judges, you know, have been like, oh, you have to like just take all of that off Google or whatever, like things that just aren't even possible to do.
Right.
Because they don't really have a concept of how it works, because a lot of times they're older generation. Yeah. And so it's a weird thing.
Is allowing all of these entities that support this to provide streaming stuff going on the internet. Now, the internet, you know, let's go back. Internet started with a concept of local to local connections across the country. And you could go for Air Alaska, but you had to go through local connections to get there. The industry wisely provided for streaming for, in effect, a new kind of long distance, and that's what we've got. We've got a service that's immune to distance.
It was like the Pony Express, except with wires.
When we take
to be fair, this is from 2006.
Who is that?
Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska.
Is that the series of tubes?
Yes. Yeah. That's how it starts.
Well, there's one company now, you can get, sign up, and you can get a movie delivered to your house daily by delivery service.
You know,
okay?
The thing is, though, all the criticisms of either judges or legislators not getting this, staff and clerks are all going to be 30 and under for
right.
fucking all these people from now until the end of time.
So they
it's
should
bad
be
staffing.
Them?
It's bad staffing, bad clerking, and bad lawyering. If you're not educating the judge, that you're failing as an advocate.
Good point.
So
good point. Sorry, judges.
It's not necessarily their fault. And the other thing is, they could quite likely know a whole lot more than what their opinions sound like. But if you have bad advocating going on, the only thing the judge can do is explain, you know, Netflix in the term that the Netflix lawyer presents it in court. Mm-hmm. So even the judge is like, fuck this. You guys aren't giving me a lot to work with. I mean, again, that's bad advocacy. That's not necessarily the fault of the judge. Not that there aren't bad judges.
No, yeah, there very, very much are. Let me see if this cuts to the chase.
My life. It's a day I don't want to remember. And I'm sorry to see it come to an end.
Oh, no, that's him retiring. Never mind. Anyway, internet.
He said tubes.
It's not a dump truck.
It's hilarious.
A series of tubes. Internet series of tubes. And I believe he was the Senate chair of like some technology committee. He was part of the group that was deciding how technology would be regulated.
Well, to be fair, I mean, who had heard of the internet in 2006?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dinner what?
Sometimes you got to go old school. Dateline. Houston, Texas. Two men hospitalized after Legend of Zelda sword stabbing.
It's pretty good.
So we have a bizarre story that happened overnight in Katy, Texas. One man says he had to grab a sword in a duel with his girlfriend's estranged husband.
What?
Gannon.
They decided it was like, we're going to duel over this woman. Choose your method of fighting. And they were like, Zelda recreation.
Two men wound up in the hospital after they started fighting over a woman, and one of them pulled out a sword. Local 2's Gianna Caserta has been following this story for us.
Not a pork sword, an actual sword.
A magic sword.
Willow Canyon. Gianna, good morning once again. You spoke exclusively to one of the people involved in this fight. Is that right?
That's right. Eugene Thompson says that he's still very shaken up when we spoke to him, but he says that he grabbed that sword in an attempt to protect himself.
Swords and flower pots. It sounds nuts. He's psycho.
A bizarre story overnight in Katy. One man says he had to grab a sword in a duel with his girlfriend's estranged husband.
It was a replica master sword from Legend of Zelda. I do anime conventions and stuff, dress up in costume, and so I got it because it's a good replica and it looks nice, and it just so happens to be pointed and bladed.
According to Harry,
sword just happens to be a sword.
Yeah,
I mean, it could happen to anybody, you know.
I think the lesson here is don't have a girlfriend who still has a husband.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's like a pro tip.
Yep, that is
life lesson
from someone who's been divorced twice. If they still have a current spouse, do not become their boyfriend and or girlfriend.
Question.
Yes.
Is the game Zelda about winning your love away from another suitor?
No, it's rescuing Zelda.
Yeah.
And reclaiming the Triforce.
She's not the girlfriend?
I think Link would like to hook up with Zelda.
I think it's implied that, like, eventually.
Yeah, I don't know, but like with Mario and the princess, is it like that kind of situation where he's always trying to rescue her, but she never shows interest, or is she actually into him?
I don't know. I've still never seen the princess in either game. So.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't know. Nate, do you have any
signs on that?
I only play sports games because I'm terrible at games like that.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why. So,
wow, I lost my nerd credibility for not knowing Zelda and Link's relationship. Sorry, everyone. I know you were counting on me.
So I will say this. One time, cosplay actually did come in to prevent a tragedy.
Yay.
Normally, it's just tragic, but there you go.
Aw.
Here's some shocking, some of them not so shocking, food facts that will make you question everything.
Oh, everything?
Number one, all Fruit Loops taste the same no matter what color they are.
That is true.
I believe that, yeah.
It is true. It's weird. This one kind of blew some people away. Not me. This is what's going on inside a cup of noodles. Basically, when you open up a cup of noodles, the top third is empty, right?
Yes.
And then you've got noodles, and you think they go all the way to the bottom. They do not. The bottom third is nothing but emptiness.
You need room. You need room for the noodles to expand.
Twinkies don't last forever.
Ugh.
Yeah, they're only good for about 45 days.
That seems short to me. I feel like Twinkies you could get away with like a year or so at least.
Apparently not.
Really? 45 days?
Challenge accepted.
Do Twinkies exist?
Let's figure it out. I think we just need to like put one on like your window ledge.
How about we do it in your window ledge?
That's not on location.
Yeah. I have cats.
I have
nothing,
a kid.
Yeah, but nothing will last in my window ledge because I have cats. Number four, the so-called double stuff Oreos only contain 1.86 times the stuff.
I didn't realize that stuff only had one F in it. That's interesting to me.
Well, if you're talking about Oreos.
I am. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it does. And this, I remember when this came out, this was a science or a math teacher challenged his kids to figure it out, and that's why they sort of took a real world thing and put it into action. I heard this before. Captain Crunch is not, in fact, a captain. He is a commander, according to the insignias on his uniform.
He should be Commander Crunch.
The Subway foot long subs actually 11 inches long, not a foot.
Well, everyone lies about.
Well,
I've had
a nickel for every time somebody was.
This one kind of surprised me a little bit. Double dipping doesn't spread any more germs than single dipping.
There's no source material for that. I mean,
look, it's on BuzzFeed. Don't be a BuzzFeed kill.
I guess there is a link, but
there's a YouTube link.
All right.
Well, just accept BuzzFeed at face value.
Here's this is actually a Jerry Seinfeld joke. Grape nuts don't involve anything related to grapes or nuts.
Duran is neither a Duran nor Duran. Discuss.
Oreo O's do still exist, but only in South Korea. Nobody cares.
I didn't cereal? Know those ever existed.
What is an Oreo O?
It's a cereal.
It's a cereal?
Yeah. Yeah, Oreo cereal. Peanuts are actually legumes, not nuts.
I knew that.
Most people knew that.
Everyone should know that just for the allergen aspect of it.
Yeah. German chocolate cake doesn't have anything to do with Germany.
That I didn't
know. Or chocolate
know.
Or cake. Wait, that's not true.
It was named after a guy named Sam German. The serving size for nacho cheese Doritos is, guess how many chips, Becca?
Oh, I read this one, so I know.
It's 11.
That's 11. Not surprising either. That's
all.
Pretty
typical,
things are terrible for you.
But yeah. Does anyone eat just 11 Doritos?
No.
Well, you do if you measure it out. And I have been on, like, when I've been, like, really watching what I eat, I will look and go, how many chips is that? And I will actually take out. But then you never get the full size one, so you're like, 10 and a half, 10 and three quarters.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, carrots don't actually make your eyesight better. Sorry.
And let me talk about number 14.
Okay.
Because I think, did I rant about this already?
You might
possibly
have.
But
relevant for this time of year, although I think the sales are over for the year. Girl Scout cookies. They're made by two bakeries. Mm-hmm. Here in Sacramento, they sell the ABC bakery products as opposed to the little brownie bakery products. And therefore, all the shit that is sold here is a fucking fraud.
Wow.
Ooh.
As evidence in the picture,
wait.
They sell caramel delights here, but they are not delightful. You need the Samoas because the ratio of like cookie to caramel and chocolate is all off on the caramel delights. And it's bullshit. Even the Thin Mints are different. They call them, instead of tagalongs, they're peanut butter patties. And again, the ratio of like peanut butter to chocolate to patty is completely off. You have to buy your, and I don't know, it's not a north-south thing. It seems to be a coastal and inland thing. So if you go to the Bay Area or LA, you get the little brownie baker shit. Here, you get that fraudulent ABC crap. And people, they'll tell you it's the same. Those little girls will give you their big, sad, money-raising eyes, and they go, oh, it's the same. It's a Samoa. Yeah. It's a different name. It is not the same.
So
it is
so,
not the same.
So what you're saying is don't buy Girl Scout cookies, anybody in Sacramento.
I'm just saying, just be an informed consumer.
This and explains also, something to me, though, because I can never remember what the freaking Girl Scout cookies are called, and it's because they
it's
have two
because
different
you,
names.
Because you came from a different, and then right. Now you're here, and it all seems a little bit off, and that's why. And some they'll try to tell you, like, yeah, the girls try to, they try to explain it away, but it's just not. I feel bad. I feel bad telling them no, but that's why I don't.
That's
buy
why
it,
I'm. That's why I'm glad Rayleigh's gave them the boat, because I got sick of getting the big moon eyes every time I went in to buy groceries.
I don't feel bad. When
it's
I'm
like
trying to
it's
sell.
Like, it's like, listen, girlfriend, there are aisles full of cookies that are actually good that cost half of what you're charging, and I can have them right now.
Do you know what bothers me? You know what bothers me though now is that they don't go door to door anymore.
Well,
but I think they should. Like,
blame the pedophiles.
I don't. Well, no, they don't go. I never went by myself, but my mom would stand down by the street while I went up to the door.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to sell your shit for you. I'm not going to spend Saturday standing in front of a grocery store. If you want to sell these things, you're going to go sell these things yourself.
No, now what happened? Here's what happens now. And this is where I will get angry for a moment. Bob, for lack of a better term, you're not a fucking Girl Scout.
Oh, you don't like it when people bring it to work?
I don't care for the Girl Scout sign-up sheet in the break room. I don't care
don't
for the mass email saying, hey, my daughter's a Girl Scout. Would you like to buy cookies? No, I wouldn't, because your daughter is not the one. Now, I have worked in places where someone has actually brought their daughter into the workplace and gone around, and that I'm perfectly okay with.
Yeah, see, we agree. We just want the kids to do a little bit of work here.
Exactly.
That's all.
Yeah, I'm not buying Girl Scout cookies from you, Bob.
Here's something. Last week, I had one of my coworkers who is always selling stuff for her kid's school, and it's fine. And she came in asking about, it was like the day her kid's jogathon form was due. Mm. So you jogathon, what does that mean to you guys? Like, what do you do?
You jog.
You run.
No,
you
but like, what do you
them, like,
pay
per
mile?
Like, yeah. Per yeah. Lap, right?
Yeah.
This is just like a flat donation.
Oh, there's no.
There's no per lap anything. And I'm like, well, then what's the point? Why even have a stupid event if it's not going to be based on how far you go? You don't actually do it. You're just asking me for money.
Pretty much.
That's all. You just want
jog,
the money.
Aren't they?
Okay. But who cares?
I understand what you're saying. They have to
push harder
to get more money.
But why have an event? Like, if they're not actually doing anything.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Kids today.
I'm glad we got angry over this.
It's lame. God damn you, children.
Awesome. I'm going to skip a couple and get to the last one. Baby carrots are just adult carrots that have been shaved down to nubbins.
I knew that.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do they do with the rest of the carrots, I wonder?
And they get that nice slimy slime on them in a little bag.
I don't know.
Carrot slime.
Slimy, nubby penis carrots.
Or as BuzzFeed calls it.
Penis carrots?
Fraud.
They're little nubby penis carrots. They're little nubby.
That's
They're
not a name that's going to catch on.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Catch your penis carrots.
Maybe at like Goldie's or something. Like Goldie's produce section.
You know, yeah. It's the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Carrots. Because all the chicks love to eat baby carrots on their bachelorette party.
You know what? They should actually. The real thing. I think you're onto something because ladies are always on a diet and they sell like penis gummy candy and penis pasta and stuff. They should sell penis vegetables.
Just carve them up to look like penises and say 100% orgasmic peanut carrots.
Exactly. Right. I think that's your new business. That's nobody new business steal guy. That. Patent trolls Patent, back off.
Yeah, Texas, stay the fuck out of my way.
This story, I'm not quite, I'm waiting for this to be bullshit. So I'm going to tell you about the story anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Sort of went by, but I think it's bullshit.
So wait, do we mean it's not a thing or do we mean it's a super lie?
I think it's a super lie.
I think it's either, I don't know if it's a lie. Worst case scenario is it's a lie by the captain.
Yeah.
Second worst is just somebody who tried to write the most, it's like a Jimmy Kimmel thing. Like wrote the most ridiculous thing to see how far it would go viral.
Yeah, I'm still going to talk about it because it's sort of a thing.
What is it?
Headline,
F1.
Passenger's sexist note left on WestJet flight stirs pilot's heated response.
What a scoop.
WestJet is a Canadian airline. Written on a napkin aboard a Calgary flight bound for Victoria, prompted a heated response from a seasoned flyer herself. Carrie Stacey, who is a pilot of 17 years, currently works for WestJet, says she was shocked when alerted to the message left by someone named David, who is believed to be seated in seat 12E aboard flight number 463. David wrote that the cockpit of the plane is, quote, no place for a woman, and asked that WestJet alert him next time that, quote, a fair lady is at the helm so he can book another flight. She didn't take the captain didn't take the comments lying down, posting a heated response to her Facebook page that instantly generated hundreds of reposts and comments. By the way, who the fuck would know about this note if she hadn't put it on her Facebook page?
Well, that's the point.
She said, I respectfully disagree with your opinion that the cockpit, parenthetical, we now call it the flight deck, as no cocks are required.
Or hens.
Close parenthetical. Is no place for a lady, she said. In fact, there are no places that are not for ladies anymore.
What about the men's room, huh? Huh?
Oh, no. If you gender identify, you can go in there.
Oh, sorry.
It's how you gender identify, Ted. I respectfully disagree with your opinion. Oh, okay, next paragraph. She also indicated that the same passenger questioned flight attendants about whether she had an adequate number of flight hours. Reached at her home a few days later, she said she had never previously encountered such rude remarks from a passenger.
So rude.
Quote, I just couldn't believe that there are still people in this country that think like that. It just shocked me. WestJet was also quick to denounce the comments, saying, we take enormous pride in the professionalism, skill, and expertise of our pilots, and this note is very disappointing.
Oh,
that's according to spokesperson Robert Palmer. He also added that he was addicted to love, and he might as well face it. sorry. At least someone got it.
Oh, man.
The note shocked many online Monday because they're suckers. It did not surprise BC pilot Kirsten Brazier, founder of the event The Sky's No Limit, Girls Fly Too. Fewer than 6% of commercial pilots are women. So
that's a country song reference.
Is it? Okay.
Thank you.
Girls Lie Too is a country song, so I'm assuming that Girls Fly Too is a...
Possibly.
I'm just translating for those of our listeners who just want to know that we get that joke.
Oh, well, I didn't get it either, so thank you.
Most people have always seen men flying airplanes. Anytime people see something that's not what they're used to, there's some resentment there. No, that's bullshit.
What?
This is all bullshit.
A woman flying a plane?
Yeah.
What's next, a monkey?
They added, female pilots get all kinds of dumb comments from all kinds of people, but it doesn't bother Brazier, whose philosophy is to get the job done well. Yet the perception that only men fly planes can stop girls from considering a career in the lucrative field, an attitude that Brazier hopes to combat with her event in celebration of Women's Aviation Worldwide Week. And that's where I think this all leads to. I think this was all a bullshit publicity ploy to lead into this whole thing.
What's
that
happening?
That sounds like it. I think you could be right. There's been a number of these like Twitter airline note hoax thingies happening.
Have there?
Well, not like this exactly, but you remember like where people tweet like about the asshole who's sitting next to them or some crazy exchange they had on a plane and it turns out to just be all made up, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah, this is the sort of thing.
First of all, if you were really...
Or like sorry, was it the woman at Walmart who said like somebody smacked her kid for wearing a pink shirt or tiara or something, and that was all
shenanigans?
Fake too.
So supposedly, here's the napkin. Two captains slash WestJet. The cockpit of an airliner is no place for a woman. A woman being a mother is the most honor, not as a captain. Proverbs 31.
What?
I don't think was there airplanes in the Bible?
I don't know.
Maybe in like Revelation.
An ark is like an airplane.
I can't read that little bit. Sorry, not PC. P.S. I wish WestJet could tell me a fair lady was at the helm so I can book another flight.
Oh.
That's what was written. And I'm waiting for this all to come out as being bullshit. I really am. It just strikes a whole bunch of things. Like, first of all, wouldn't you just take that and throw it away?
Yes.
I mean, if you're a flight attendant, you might take it. You might show it to the pilot. The pilot may be like, what an asshole. And you crumple it up and you throw it away. You don't go on Facebook.
No, I think I totally would Facebook it.
Would you?
Yeah, of course I would.
Yeah.
Something. So if it's true and that random, wouldn't you be like, the fuck is this?
I'd
Instagram it immediately.
I think that you would share it, but the fact that there's an event tied to it is the part that's suspicious to me.
Suddenly there's an event coming up. Ooh, well, this will garner attention. Because honestly, would I have mentioned the phrase Women in Aviation Week on this podcast? No.
Nope. Not intentionally.
And neither would anybody else.
Because I'm uninformed about it.
Yeah, well.
But now I know about it. Thanks, Nate. Thanks, man who leaves a thing on, or maybe woman who leaves a note on an airplane.
Yeah, well, let's do this now. Let me find the button. Oh, yeah.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
All right, first up in cooler tools, swords. Ted.
Swords are cool.
Becca.
It's cooler when you pronounce it sword.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Christiana?
Yay, Zelda. Doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Cool.
Swords are cool unless you buy them from a shopping channel in bulk from someone with a southern accent.
Bulk swords?
Oh, yes.
All your swording needs?
Trust me, it exists.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Up next in cooler tool, lies. Lies, Becca.
Fun tool.
Christiana?
Really cool. Lies. Cool, because you sometimes be like, no, I think your new shoes are great, or I don't know.
Ted.
Generally speaking, I'd have to say lies are not so cool, which makes
lies.
Them cool. That's true.
Lies.
True. Yeah, sometimes lies are necessary. I mean, you feel better about baby carrots if you know a whole adult carrot didn't give its life for it.
Are you saying sometimes they're cool and sometimes they're tool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on the situation.
Can't always wishy-washy on us, Nate.
I am, sorry. And finally, in cooler tool, notes on napkins. Notes on napkins. Christiana.
Oh, generally speaking, cool.
Becca?
It depends completely on what they say.
Call me.
Context. Or here's how we solve healthcare.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll be a napkin.
I'll tell you what is tool is like random Bible citations that don't match anything that's actually in the Bible. Jesus said, don't be an airline captain. Proverbs 31. Like, what?
Ted?
Oh, my mom used to write notes to me on my napkins in my school lunch, so I always hold them dear to my heart. So they're cool.
Aww.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree. I hate
Oh, you hate
napkins.
My mom?
No, right. Not your mom. Okay. I like your mom.
Well, hey. Sorry.
Not like that.
Hey. Wait, that's good. Sorry, I'm done.
Yeah, notes on napkins, not so much. Yeah,
what if it's a lie on a napkin?
It's even worse.
Or better.
The only way a note on a napkin is cool is if you write it in lipstick and seal it with a lip print.
Ooh, okay.
How's that for sexist?
Yeah, my
I
mom
think
never
write
gave
it
me
in
those
a
notes.
Pen and seal it with a lip print?
Pen will tear it. It'll tear it. That's the problem. They all tear.
It's hard to write in lipstick. You mess up the point and everything smudges.
I know. It's terrible. Life is hard sometimes. This is breaking Canadian news. This isn't in show prep, guys. I'm sorry. This just came into us. For failing to broadcast sufficient levels of Canadian-made pornography and failing to close caption said pornography properly, a trio of Toronto-based erotica channels has earned a reprimand from the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission.
What have they been broadcasting instead of Canadian-made porn?
Probably American-made porn. The CRTC issued a broadcast notice saying AOV Adult Movie Channel, XXX Action Clips, and the gay-oriented Male Flicks were all failing to reach the required 35% threshold for Canadian content.
There is a beaver shortage in Canada.
Canadian beaver.
Oh my gosh, you were right.
I'm prophetic.
Based on a 24-hour broadcast schedule, that translates to about 8.5 hours of Canadian erotica per day.
What is happening?
The notice was issued as a result of Channel Zero's efforts to renew licenses for all three erotic channels. The regulator will review the instances of apparent noncompliance at an April 28th hearing in Quebec. The channel's parent company, Toronto-based Channel Zero, did not respond to the National Post's request for comment. In previous followings, however, the company has claimed its deficit of Canadian erotica was simply a clerical error.
How can there be a Channel Zero, and how can there be three state-backed porn channels, and we have none in America?
Well, they're just better than us, Ted.
How come NPR does not have a porn hour? There has to be a population of public that wants porn on NPR.
I don't know. Every time Gian Gomeshi talks, I'm kind of happy.
Welcome to All Things Considered. Today we're going to talk about anal.
No.
Anal.
No, it's all about... And isn't Gian Gomeshi Canadian?
I don't know.
On This American totally Life would be like, today, a story of two girls in one cup. Oh, God. I can't do his voice, but his voice is kind of annoying.
Today on This American Life, we're going to talk about scissoring.
Oh, God.
So, you never know. It's so anyway. The accounting error is come to home to roost. But porn production is flourishing in Quebec, with Montreal headquarters to such industry heavyweights as Brazzers and Mile High Media. Oddly, Montreal not a mile high. Industry boosters claim the city's production of X-rated videos is rivaled only by Los Angeles and Amsterdam. So,
yay!
Big props to Montreal. We have the big game companies here. We have a lot of well-known computer graphics generators here. It just stands to reason that some of it would delve into adult expansions. That's according to Michael Plant, a Quebec City-based adult entertainment entrepreneur. That's back in 2008. The quantity of Canadian porn was apparently enough for the CRTC to approve Northern Peaks, which is an Edmonton-based cable channel that planned to pack 50% of its schedule with Canadian pornography.
Northern Peaks.
Sexy pelts.
What's the other 50%? Like, how do you have a channel that's 50% porn and then 50% some
jazz.
Other?
No.
Jazz.
It's Canadian content.
Oh, 50% Canadian porn.
Yeah, it's Canadian porn. It's about being Canadian. Like, if the radio stations in Canada have to have 50% of their content be by Canadian artists.
Oh.
Which is why if you live in Canada, Bryan Adams is a big thing. Everybody listens to Rush. And in the States, not so much. And it's so that Canadian artists will thrive and not just be swept under they got a big boost by like Celine Dion because she is Canadian, and Justin Bieber and Avril Lavigne and Alanis Morissette, all of whom are Canadian. So when you have a major Canadian star, that's like a huge boon because you don't have to throw in random Canadian artists who you've really never heard of. So, get your porn in Canada. And it's good to see the government stepping up and taking over and making sure things are going well.
I wonder where they stand on the condom issue.
I don't know. I haven't really delved into Canadian pornography. This literally just showed up on my Facebook feed a little before we started recording the show. So thought I would share.
What a scoop.
It is a scoop.
So
speaking of government and doing things, there's a man named Tim Donnelly who would like to be the next governor of California.
Hi, Tim Donnelly here. We are on the bus and we are rolling. The Liberty Express is rolling through California. We're going to hit 40 cities in 10 days. You know, California is the shining jewel of this country, and we need to bring pride back to California.
When did California lose its pride?
When
they
elected Arnold Schwarzenegger governor? On different pages on that one, I guess.
I think so. I don't recall California being like, we're not so great. Yeah, we're not good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was our governor?
No, nobody said that.
He was our governor.
Well, he was.
And they reelected him.
Termed out, baby. Ugh. He termed out.
California!
Yeah, so Tim Donnelly, I believe he's a Republican candidate. Republican-ish. We'll go with that.
He has a bus called the Liberty Express. I think he's Republican.
Ish. Republican-ish. He could be bigger than Republican. Republican-ish, we'll call him. But he's not just about going to four cities a day. No, sir. He's for women.
They say beside every good man is a great woman. I've got two.
bigamist. Not really.
By the way, I love this gal right here, Jennifer Kern.
Yeah.
You got yourself a great leader for your campaign in this woman right here.
And then there's this footage of this blonde chick who's running with a German shepherd through the wilderness. I don't know why.
It's so weird.
It is.
Pretty sick that I have a photo of you and I on as my screenshot.
It is.
That's sort of disturbing.
It is disturbing.
After my accident,
which is why it should be in the commercial.
The experts told me I would never run again, not a single mile. But 4 years later, I ran the Marine Corps Marathon.
And good for her. That's an impressive achievement.
In nearly a decade.
When we defeated Prop 1A, the $16 billion tax increase, we were outspent 26 million to one. But we beat them at the ballot box 2-1. Nice. Winning the Colorado recall elections, well, that was just cool. Being part of a team that was handpicked by Governor Schwarzenegger to be Assistant Secretary of State for California, that was an honor.
Losing in Virginia is not as significant as winning in California. I would not want to go to war against this woman.
The war on women?
What does that mean?
Really?
No
you
idea.
Want to go there? World War II started because of Pearl Harbor.
It didn't. Nope.
The war
not.
On women was started by consultants.
Oh.
Releasing the...
It's true. Actually, World War II was not started at Pearl Harbor. The U.S. getting involved actively in World War II was started by Pearl Harbor. But if you're that...
But nothing that... Nothing... Unless we're involved in it, does it really happen in the world?
Well, if you're completely jingoistic about
it... I mean, can
you
prove that anything happened if we weren't there? I don't think so.
Look, I didn't see it with my
like
own two eyes, so I don't know.
Bishop Ferdinand falls in a forest and an American isn't there to see it. It doesn't matter.
Archbishop Franz Ferdinand. That's terrible.
Was he Archbishop?
He was Archduke.
Archduke, sorry.
Yeah. And I picked the wrong. I was Bishop like, wait a minute.
That's terrible.
That's
I'm
like
sorry.
Multiple levels of wrong.
There to see it. That's
yeah,
bad.
It mm-hmm. happens. We all make mistakes from time to time. So anyway, let's see what we got going on here. I'm just looking at the clock. We're all over the place today. That's fine.
Are we
going
to talk about what Tim Donnelly actually, what he did?
No. I'm done with
guns.
Him.
The answer is always guns. Whatever yeah. Tim Donnelly did, he did it with guns.
It's true.
Takes yeah. them on airplanes, brandishes them at lobbyists,
may
doesn't register them.
Yep.
Look, it's his gun, and if he wants to make love to it, he can. Because this is America, by God.
By God is the key word here.
I don't know. that music means it's time to get out of California and head for Florida. Where a Florida teenager who called 911 asked police to place her in a Christian children's shelter because she, quote, heard her mother having sex. Responding to a domestic disturbance call around 4 a.m., a cop questioned the mother and daughter in Panama City. The duo had been involved in a verbal altercation. The girl, who's 15, told an officer that she wanted to go to a local shelter because she heard her mother having sex and felt disrespected.
What?
Okay. The teen acknowledged that there was no form of abuse or neglect going on in the house, just disrespect. The mother explained to police that she'd invited her boyfriend over, and sometime during the visit, her daughter had heard them having sex and became upset. The woman added that their bedrooms are next to each other, and she didn't intend on waking her daughter up. After speaking with a representative from the shelter, the teen decided that she didn't want to leave the home after all, because it was almost time for school.
Ah, God!
So, I don't know. Maybe... Figure out a better place to have sex with your boyfriend.
I don't know. Once my parents had sex and I was in the house, and they're allowed to. It's their house. It's disturbing.
Well, but one of them wasn't her parent, and that's probably part of her issue.
Well, I guess I was assuming her mom was single. Okay.
Yeah, it was a boyfriend.
Well, I understand that, but is that okay? They don't know. Maybe it's her long-term boyfriend.
Well, she felt disrespected.
I understand. I'm sorry.
This is America, Ted.
Do
when
not
you feel...
disrespect me.
This was America. Oh, yeah, it was Florida.
I was disrespected.
It's Florida.
Do not
it doesn't
disrespect my
authority. America.
Shouldn't you just sit there rocking back and forth in horror? Maybe listen to some music with headphones
That's
on?
That's what I was thinking. This is what iPods are for.
Right.
Nah.
Also in Florida, a local 10 investigation found that drivers in Tamarack racing to the emergency room are being ticketed by one of the city's red light cameras.
Oh, brother.
The city is making violators pay the fine, even though they were all having real medical emergencies. So, nice job.
But they have a lower tax rate than we do, maybe. I don't know.
A man named Jacob said he was worried he was having a heart attack, so he rushed himself to the university hospital. Maybe you should have called an ambulance, sir. But he said, I really couldn't breathe. I was sweating. Just a lot of things going on. A few weeks later, He said he experienced similar symptoms when he received a $158 ticket in the mail.
Wait, that's all a red light ticket costs?
Oh, no.
Well, honestly, the that's what it costs. You should move to Florida, run some red lights.
Yeah, no,
it's like
here,
two to one.
Pay for themselves.
It's almost $600 here, so is amazing.
The funny thing is the posted fine is like $341.
Oh, I know, but it's completely not true.
It's court fees because we underfund our courts.
Oh, yeah. That's
if there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
Anyway, there's a town in Florida that's got a red light camera at the hospital that's just ticketing people who are rushing in for medical emergencies.
That's
so
really pathetic.
Yeah, nice job, Tamarack, Florida. Dicks. Tamarack, Florida. By the way, I'm going to award you the Nate Darling Show Dick of the Week Award.
Yay.
Congratulations.
You're the nubbin of the week.
Penis carrot.
Such a baby carrot.
Seriously.
Oh, so terrible. I promised a place in Canada where there's a new park. Well, a park with a new name anyway. It's in Vancouver. And the name of the park? Dude Chilling Park.
Dude Chilling? Is that a guy's name?
Dude Chilling Park.
And they unveiled the sign, Dude Chilling Park. Vancouver Park Board Commissioner Sarah Blythe unveiled the officially approved Dude Chilling Park sign with a lead petitioner, Dustin Bromley. So they petitioned. Again, this is why petitions are terrible.
Man, I could do nothing as good as this on our Parks Commission. We don't get to name anything except we can name sports fields. We don't get to name parks.
Yeah.
You got to be on the council to do that.
Well, it's a public art piece that simply read Dude Chilling Park at Vancouver's Guelph Park near Main Street. Ended up as an international media blitz, including a segment on Jimmy Kimmel Live, who we mentioned earlier. They unveiled the new and improved sign alongside the petitioner who pushed for the sign to remain in the park. It's just fun. I think people will come and see it. Anyone I talk to in Vancouver knows about it, so it's kind of one of those things that everybody now knows about. It's one of those things that make the city unique. Vancouver's got a lot of stoners, doesn't it? They have to.
I agree with them. They should just leave it. It's fun.
Well, it's there forever now.
Awesome. I would go visit that.
Yeah, what's wrong with Dude Chilling Park?
I didn't say there was anything wrong with
it. Place to relax. Not you. The people, the haters I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Haters going to hate. Just chill in a park, guys.
Well, that's what they do.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what haters do.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Other parts of Canada, in Ottawa, we had a lot of Canada in this show. That's fine. A true Canadian stick-up with a happy ending. A crook looking to score cash at a convenience store in downtown Ottawa barged in threatening the clerk with a hockey stick. But his game plan went awry when the clerk snatched the stick away, causing the would-be thief to flee. The incident happened around 6:40 p.m. on a Monday at the Carr's Confectionery on Kent Street. Say that three times fast. Mm-hmm. Police say there were no injuries in the incident. They described the suspect as a Caucasian man, about 5'10", with a slim build. He was dressed in black and wore a balaclava.
Baklava?
No, a balaclava.
Oh.
It's sort of a mask.
It's a ski mask.
Yeah.
We call it ski mask here. I don't know. Balaclava sounds crazy
balaclava.
And stupid. That's what the foreigners in my family call it, though.
Balaclava.
It's just a ski mask.
Like what Jason wears.
It's a balaclava.
No, like a knit ski mask.
Oh, that kind of ski
balaclava.
Mask. Not a, okay.
Balaclava.
Not baklava.
Not at all.
Delicious, honey.
I always want some pistachio snacks.
Pistachios. And finally, one last Canadian story before we get to small town news, because I want to. The only people who like apologizing more than Ted are Canadians. It's true.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Nate.
In fact, Canada Post, which is their post office, has apologized for an anti-gay flyer being delivered from a Halifax-based church.
We're so sorry to deliver this. I'm sorry.
They apparently delivered some anti-gay flyers in Happy Valley, Goose Bay. Spokeswoman Enoch Lucier says Canada Post apologizes to anyone who was offended by the flyers that quoted Bible verses to condemn gay marriage and homosexuality. She says the flyers should not have been accepted for mailing. She says Canada Post is now reviewing its processes to ensure that similar material is not delivered in future. The flyers called Same-Sex Marriages and God's Word were delivered late last week. A man who identified himself as a spokesman for the People's Gospel Hour based in Halifax says his group published the flyers, but he declined comment. So, I don't know if this is a story, but the post office is very sorry for delivering junk mail from peace-loving Jesus people who hate gay stuff. Yeah,
the representatives of the Haters Gospel Hour.
Yeah, the Haters Gospel Hour. Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 31.
I love that one. Let me get set up here because we got some epic small town news. I think you're all going to enjoy this.
Oh, I'm really excited.
I think you should be because I'll make sure we got the right music here.
So small town news, small town news. Everybody loves that small town news.
Oh, that's a throwback, Ted.
Old school.
I like that.
Yeah. The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
We're going to do it this way, though. We'll see if Ted's as excited when we actually get to it.
Small town news. I'm sorry if it's
Dateline.
Not as exciting.
Oh. It's March 2nd. This is from Plattsburgh, New York, by the way. Not really winter. Not officially spring. The calendar marks spring as March 20th. As I wrote this last Monday, it was one of those days where you pays your money and takes your choice.
Wikipedia defines spring.
Oh, no.
As the season.
Mostly clear skies over beautiful Saranac River at 5 a.m. By 8, temps in the 20s, frozen puddles, snow flurries, and mixed sunshine. It's not mud season, but that will happen. Lake Champlain is frozen solid. Friends have been taking walks to Crab Island and Valcour. When was the last time you saw that?
Can't remember.
Yeah.
We can't hoof it across the Saranac here unless we want to get wet. Thank goodness there's still an open channel flowing by, no ice jams so far, and we pray it melts slowly. The resident ducks love it. They make tracks to our bird feeders, and we enjoy watching them. What does March Madness signify?
Basketball?
If you said it's the principal breeding time for the European hare, you'd be smarter than the average bunny. But not in the mainstream. If your passion leans more toward basketball, March Madness has a very special significance. New baseball season is blossoming. Pitchers and catchers training, for me, is sure a sign of spring is on the way. We won't celebrate Equinox for 18 days, so let's relax and make the best of what we've got. I've been watching people round pointed shovels and pickaxes laboring to drain their yards and walkways. When mud season gets here, I don't suppose we'll see a single child outside digging a circular bowl in the dirt for playing marbles. That's what I yearned for when I was 10. Playing catch was also on the spring list of things to do. Robins? We've been seeing them around here all winter long. It seems they don't migrate anymore. Sap? I love maple sugaring season. Those who engage in tapping the trees produce the sweetest of the sweet, but I haven't had sugar on snow for 60 years! I find that shameful, actually. Last week, I smelled skunk in the neighborhood 2 days in a row. I thought they were still hibernating. Hopefully not beneath my back deck. Hopefully not roadkill out front. Outerwear? It's a challenge for me to pick out the right coat or jacket to wear this time of year. I just walked into the laundry/mudroom and counted my coats, jackets, and sweatshirts. Included quilted flannel shirts. They number 18. 18, I tell you! I added that part for a dramatic effect. With my really heavy winter coat already relegated to an upstairs closet. You don't even want to hear how many pairs of footwear I have in another closet.
You're right,
sure
I don't.
We do.
Move over, Imelda Marcos.
No, you're right. I don't want to hear.
Also, with hats galore, mostly I wear baseball and football caps in season. I don't know what a football cap is, but okay.
Baseball cap with a football logo?
Probably. I donned a special black knit toque with pigtails as I worked outside this winter.
What's a toque? It's like a baklava?
No, it's just a knit cap.
Like a knit cap, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's what hipsters would wear.
I think it's like mine that looks like a panda that has the little braids that come down.
Yep, that's it. For snow blowing, there's one that covers everything but my mouth. That would be a balaclava. Kay rediscovered my old Donegal, Ireland 100% pure wool hat from 40 years ago. Either my head is broader or the hat is shrunk. I've spent days jamming it down to make it fit. It has many 1980 Olympics pins on it, along with a tiny pin that's more than special. When the Dad Vale Regatta, largest intercollegiate rowing competition in the country, was only a few years old, I had the honor of rowing there in an 8-man shell as a stroke oar for what is now Stony Brook University. These days, I doubt if I could even lift one of those long oars. When I can get the shorts and t-shirts out and wear Crocs with no socks.
Oh, did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Really, Crocs?
With no socks.
Oh, Gordy Little.
I will know that spring has really sprung, but spring for Kay and me won't be in full swing until we can get outside and dig in the dirt. Flower gardens and our usual crop strip await somewhere under the lingering snow cover. So what are your favorite spring signs? By the way, my snow shovels are still by the door. Have a great almost spring, and please drive carefully. By the way, congratulations on guessing Gordy Little, Becca, because I didn't actually say who it was.
It was
pretty obvious.
Well, I knew it was either, you know, when you started, it was like Gordy or Susan, and I feel like I know their writing style well enough. But wait, I feel like we have to
ask you now.
Yes.
Do you eat sugar on snow in Vermont?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I don't know. That's only something I've read about in Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. Seriously.
Sugar on snow? That's snow with maple syrup on it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like a snow cone, but just...
Nature's snow cone. Syrup. That's what it is.
Nice.
So to not have one for 60 years, shame on you, Gordy Little.
I know. I feel like we could do a timeline of his life. Like, first he had a snow cone, then he won a rowing race, then he got a hat and put Olympic pins on it.
Right.
Then, you know, it's all nostalgia of his life, you know?
This is what cabin fever does to you. When you live where it's snowy and you have to spend all this time inside and you only go out to shovel snow and shit, you get crazy like this.
I'm going to count all my shirts.
I decided to count the number of shirts and jackets I had because that's what I do.
18, I tell you.
This hat doesn't fit anymore. Why doesn't it fit anymore? Is my head bigger? Is my hat smaller?
Maybe this 40-year-old hat shrunk. Who the fuck could have seen that coming?
I don't understand. I should write about it. Because it just occurred to me right now, but I forgot about it.
Oh,
I have a new paragraph to start. All right.
That's why I love small town news. And that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. And
thank you.
Let's fight some patent trolls.
Yeah, slay those trolls with your Zelda sword. Bam, bam, bam.
Indeed.
No? All right.
Your penis carrot. Whatever weapon you have.
I don't know. You want to go thrusting your penis carrot around willy-nilly. And see what I did there? Willy-nilly?
Kind of. Yeah.
All right. We're going to leave you with a little Ollie Murs and Flo Rida. We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Summer, yeah. Typical middle name is Prada. Picture like a glove, girl. I'm sick of the drama. You're a trouble.